Let's start with a sound you already know. The whine of a turbine spooling up. The bark of a piston engine catching on a cold morning. Those sounds are chemistry. They are the sound of hydrocarbons burning, and they have powered every airplane you have ever flown. Now imagine an airplane that takes off and the only thing coming out the back is water. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today, we are going to talk about hydrogen, not hydrogen, the hype word you have seen slapped on 100 press releases. Hydrogen, the actual powertrain, the fuel cell, the tank, and the company that has flown one of these things and is now trying to certify it. That company is ZeroAvia, and the story here is not really about whether hydrogen works. It does. The story is about a tank and the temperature inside it, and why that one engineering problem sits between a clean regional airplane and your local ramp. Let's break this down. Before we get into the cold physics of it, a quick word from the people helping keep this segment in the air. This one is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones in a flying life. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, CFI. The whole journey, one coin at a time. They are beautifully made and built to last, the kind of thing you hand to someone or keep in your pocket for luck. That is AviationSoul.com. Alright, hydrogen, what are we actually talking about? There are two completely different ways to use hydrogen in an airplane, and people mix them up constantly, so let's separate them cleanly. The first way is to burn it. You take hydrogen, you inject it into a modified turbine or a piston engine, and you combust it just like Jet A. Airbus spent years looking hard at this path with their Zero concept. Burning hydrogen gives you a lot of energy and a familiar feeling engine, but it still produces some nitrogen oxides at high combustion temperatures, and it needs an enormous volume of fuel on board. The second way, the ZeroAvia way, is the fuel cell. And this is the one that fascinates me as an engineer, because there is no fire at all. Here's what a fuel cell does. You feed hydrogen in one side and ordinary air in the other. Inside, a membrane strips the electron off the hydrogen atom and routes it around through a circuit. That flow of electrons is electricity. On the far side, the hydrogen recombines with oxygen from the air, and what falls out the bottom is water vapor. That electricity spins an electric motor, the motor spins a propeller, and the airplane flies. No combustion, no burning. A chemical reaction that runs cold and quiet and produces a stream of electrons and a trickle of water. The data tells an interesting story about why this matters so much for the kind of flying most of us actually do. Regional aviation, the short hops, the 50 and 100 and 200 mile legs in a 9-seat or 19-seat airplane, is where a huge share of departures happen and where a lot of emissions concentrate. Those routes are too short to be efficient for big jets and too long for a car. That is exactly the slice ZeroAvia is aiming at. Their first powertrain, the one they call the ZA600, is sized for airplanes in the 9 to 19 seat class. Think of the airframes you already see doing island runs and commuter routes. The Cessna Caravan, the Twin Otter, the Dornier 228. And they didn't just draw this on a whiteboard. In January of 2023, ZeroAvia flew a Dornier 228 out of Cotswold Airport in England, with one of its two engines replaced by a hydrogen electric powertrain. One side stock, one side hydrogen fuel cell driving a prop. It flew. That is a real milestone, and it deserves to be treated as one. Now here's what most people miss. When a company flies a testbed like that, the fuel cell is doing the glamorous work, but it is almost never the hard part. Electric motors are mature. We know how to spin a propeller with electrons. Fuel cells are improving fast, and the automotive world has poured billions into them. The genuinely hard part, the part that decides whether any of this reaches your ramp, is storage. It is the tank. So let's talk about the tank, because this is the whole ballgame. Hydrogen has a wonderful problem. By weight, it is the most energy-dense fuel we have. A kilogram of hydrogen holds about 3 times the energy of a kilogram of jet fuel. That is fantastic news for an airplane, because in aviation weight is everything. But by volume, hydrogen is a nightmare. At room temperature and normal pressure, it is a thin, wispy gas that takes up enormous space. To carry a useful amount, you have to do one of two things. You either squeeze it into high-pressure tanks at 5, 6, 700 times atmospheric pressure, or you chill it down until it becomes a liquid. And to make hydrogen a liquid, you have to get it cold. Not winter cold, not dry ice cold. You have to bring it down to about minus 253 degrees Celsius. That is roughly 20 degrees above absolute zero, the coldest temperature the universe allows. You are carrying a fuel that has to stay within 20 degrees of the theoretical bottom of the temperature scale, on an airplane, in the summer, on a ramp, in Phoenix. That is the cryogenic tank problem. And it has teeth. Let's walk through. Why? Because these are the trade-offs pilots need to understand honestly. First, insulation. Keeping something that cold, that close to a hot environment means a serious vacuum-insulated tank. Think of the best thermos you have ever owned, engineered to aerospace standards and scaled up. That tank has weight and it has volume, and every bit of it is weight and volume you are not using for passengers. Second, boil-off. No insulation is perfect. Heat always leaks in. As it does, a little of that liquid hydrogen warms up and turns back into gas, and the pressure in the tank rises. Eventually, you have to vent it. So a liquid hydrogen airplane parked on the ramp is slowly, quietly losing fuel. Park it long enough and it is empty. Engineers have ideas for managing boil-off, recapturing it, using it, but it is a real constraint that Jet A simply does not have. You can leave a fuel truck's worth of kerosene in your tanks for a month and it just sits there. Third, the compressed gas alternative avoids the deep cold but trades it for pressure and for space. High-pressure gas tanks are heavy and they are bulky, and they eat into the cabin. ZeroAvia and others have flown with compressed gas for early testing precisely because it is simpler to handle, then look toward liquid hydrogen for the longer-range, larger airplane future. Each path has an honest cost. And fourth, the one nobody on a ramp can ignore, infrastructure. Right now you cannot pull up to the self-serve pump and fill a hydrogen airplane. The production, the liquefaction, the cryogenic trucking, the airport storage, none of that exists at your field. It exists at a handful of test sites. Building it out is a chicken and egg problem. Airports won't install hydrogen until airplanes need it, and airplanes can't operate until airports have it. So when you hear a clean, confident promise of zero emission flight, hold it up against that list. The fuel cell is ready. The motor is ready. The tank and the fuel chain are where the real work and the real timeline live. Let me be fair to the other side of the ledger, because I am not here to talk you out of this. There is genuine promise here, and it is not small. That water-only exhaust is real. A hydrogen fuel cell airplane produces no carbon dioxide at the point of use, none of the particulates, none of the lead we are still fighting to get out of avgas. The energy per kilogram advantage means that for regional distances, hydrogen can potentially beat batteries badly, because batteries are heavy and their weight doesn't shrink as they discharge. A hydrogen airplane gets lighter as it flies, just like yours does. That is a fundamental advantage over electric-only designs for anything beyond the shortest hops. And the powertrain is mechanically simpler in some beautiful ways. An electric motor has a fraction of the moving parts of a turbine or a piston engine. Fewer parts that vibrate, wear, and need overhaul. In principle, lower maintenance and higher reliability, once the technology matures. As someone who respects a good machine, I find that genuinely elegant. Now the honest timeline, because you deserve one without the marketing gloss. ZeroAvia has said it is targeting certification of that 9-19-seat ZA600 powertrain in the mid-2020s, with an eye toward a larger system, the ZA2000, for 40-80-seat regional turboprops later in the decade and beyond. They have real customers who have placed conditional orders, real testbed flights behind them, and they are working through certification with the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, and with British and European regulators. But certification of a brand new propulsion type is slow, and it should be. Everything about how you handle, store, and manage cryogenic hydrogen on an airplane has to be proven to a standard we have spent a century building for hydrocarbons. That takes time. So the honest read is this. Small hydrogen electric commuter airplanes carrying paying passengers on short routes are plausible in the second half of this decade. And into the early 2030s, a hydrogen airliner that looks like the jet you fly in on is much further out, if it comes at all. And I have to be square with you about the graveyard. Because balance means telling you who didn't make it. Universal Hydrogen, a company with a genuinely clever idea, modular hydrogen capsules you would swap like a coffee pod so airports wouldn't need fuel infrastructure, flew a converted Dash 8, and then ran out of money and wound down in 2024. Airbus, which had promised a hydrogen airliner by 2035, publicly pushed that timeline back and slowed the program. That is what an honest frontier looks like. Real flights, real promise, and real companies that hit the wall. It doesn't mean the technology is fake. It means the tank problem and the infrastructure problem are exactly as hard as the engineers said they were. So who is left building it? Seriously. ZeroAvia is the one flying fuel cell powertrains and pushing hardest on certification. Airbus is still in the research game, just on a longer clock. A handful of smaller outfits and university programs are chipping at pieces of it. Companies like H2 Fly in Germany have flown liquid hydrogen fuel cell demonstrators to prove the cold tank concept in the air. It is a small field and it is a serious one. Here's where I land on this, and it comes back to that sound we started with. The whine of the turbine, the bark of the piston engine. Those sounds carried aviation for its entire history, and they are not going anywhere soon, but somewhere on a test ramp in England, an airplane is spinning a propeller on nothing but hydrogen and air. And the only thing dripping out the bottom is water. The physics works. The chemistry works. What stands between that airplane and your field is not a miracle. It is a very cold tank, a fuel chain that doesn't exist yet, and the patient, unglamorous grind of certification. Engineering problems, every one of them. And engineering problems, given enough time and honest money, tend to get solved. My thanks to ZeroAvia, to Airbus, and to the reporting and publications like Aviation Week and Flight Global for the flight data and the timelines behind today's segment. You can find more of what we cover at RadioHangar.com. Keep an eye on the cold stuff. That's where the future is hiding. This is Vector, cleared direct. See you next time.